say citywide, right?
Yeah, citywide.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a concern.
We're talking about a period of time when Jerry Cavanaugh was still mayor of Detroit. Mm-hmm. And after Jerry, it was Ray Gribbs. So a citywide election still in those days generally resulted in a white person being elected. So if you looked at the racial composition of the... they're working?
Yep.
The racial composition of the Common Pleas Quarter of Detroit at that point in time, I think it was still largely white.
Oh, was it?
Matter of fact, I suspect that the names are right in here.
But as they say, the demographics of the city were changing rapidly, and that... people understood that, and there's a lag, I guess, behind the electoral results and what was actually happening in the neighborhoods.
Well, that was true, and what we were trying to do, I suppose, was to get out in front of...
or at least keep up with
The process by providing a method for judges to be elected where there would be likely some black representation. This is in the front of Volume 382 of the Michigan reports for May to December of 1969. Let's take a look at the composition of the Detroit Recorder's Court, which was then elected citywide. Colombo, white. Crockett, black. Davenport, black. Damasio, white. That's 2 and 2. Evans, black. Ford, black. That's 4 black, 2 white. Gillis, white. Heading, black. That's 5 black, 3 white. Leonard, Maher, and Olson, all white. That's 6 to 5. Poindexter and Szymanski, that makes it 8 to 5. So at that point in time, you had still a predominance of white judges on the Recorder's Court. And I'm going to guess that while they're not listed here in the front of the book, that the judges of the Common Pleas Court probably represented about the same distribution.
I think
Traffic and Ordinance, Bill Haig, who was black, and John Kerwin and Andy Wood were both white, so there was a two-thirds.
It's pretty good approximation.
All right. Now, so we were shooting at a system that would, in effect, guarantee the election of some black judges, and as many as proportionally that one would expect in the city of Detroit, because among other things, what was happening in, and I think. I'm not sure just when. I think in those days the judges were still being elected in off-year elections. Or maybe the off-year, maybe the elections were then beginning to phase out. But in judicial elections, whether off-year or otherwise, there's always a great fall off on the ballot from the major political offices to the judicial offices and local judicial offices and so forth. And there's always been the tendency for the black voters to go in and pull the Democratic lever and leave, whereas the voters out in what was called the 22nd Ward and the 21st Ward, the far east and far west side of Detroit, to vote all the way down the ballot. In any case, so what I'm trying to say was that the whites were more represented in elective office than their population would have called for in the community. So we talked about a civil division with judges to be elected citywide, presumably where the whites had advantage, and a criminal division, the judges of which would be chosen by districts within the city, where the blacks would have had the advantage. And I went on to say, the purpose of the dual election method is simply this. The civil division should embrace the present judges of the Common Pleas Court, assuring them the continuation of their terms of office and ballot designation of incumbency in the same fashion as the judges of the Recorder's Court, who would be transferred to the Circuit Court. The civil division should utilize the entire staff and experienced personnel of the Common Pleas Court and should continue its centralized operation for the convenience of litigants and jurors and for efficiency in maintaining its partial payment docket and other programs of service to the general public. The criminal division of the Detroit District Court, however, would be staffed by new judges, and these ought not only to be elected by districts within the city, but considering the nature of their work, these judges ought to be sitting and hearing their cases in various locations throughout the city. Now, we were talking about, the local city hall or whatever type of thing that was coming in. I can think of no single step which holds the promise of so much impact upon the urban crisis as the creation of this kind of court. The function of the district judge in criminal matters is to adjudicate misdemeanor cases, both traffic and non-traffic, to issue warrants for the arrest of persons suspected of crime, to set bond upon persons arrested on felony charges, and to conduct examinations in felony cases, testing whether there be sufficient cause to hold the accused for trial. In no other court is there so much contact with the public. From no other court does the public derive so much of its opinions and attitudes about the law, the courts, and the administration of justice. Upon no other court does the establishment of harmonious relationships between law enforcement officers and the community so vitally depend. And no other court is more directly responsible for the carrying out of those firm and fair policies that discourage crime in the streets of our cities. Is it any wonder that the Supreme Court has said to you that the judges of this court should be elected by districts to carve out of the city? An unshakable faith in the intuitive wisdom of the good of a good and free people tells us that there is no neighborhood community in Michigan which does not have the capacity to police itself. Now think about that. An unshakable faith in the intuitive wisdom of a good and free people tells us that there is no neighborhood community in Michigan which does not have the capacity to police itself.